Welcome to the Digital Content, the Missing Link in Your Portfolio podcast series hosted on FinTech Today. I'm your host, Matt Langan, and today we are launching part two of this two-part podcast series with a panel of experts who have been discussing digital transformation and the CX shift happening today within the FSI vertical. And once again, our panel is going to be diving into topics such as how the FSI sector can track content consumption, how to generate deep customer insights by leveraging AI, and much, much more. And once again, our panelists include Jonathan Price, Sitecore Practice Director and Sitecore MVP at AmericanEagle.com, Peter Barrett, Global Marketing Lead for Financial Services at Avanade, Dave McKella, Vice President of Digital Solutions at Horizontal Digital. He's also a Sitecore MVP. Scott Albahari, Chief Strategist for Financial Services at Proficient, and Nancy Lee, Principal Product Manager at Sitecore. And let's talk about how is the FSI sector tracking content consumption, especially from a regulatory perspective. And let's start with Dave at Horizontal Digital on that one.
Sure. Tracking is fun, especially as Peter was talking about earlier in his comments about this heavy reliance in legacy print serve organizations around disconnected systems and disconnected data sets. And in these less digitally mature organizations, it can be extremely difficult to get a clear and holistic picture of content consumption. And that can sometimes result in pretty complex operational challenges in terms of maintaining and tracking compliance. So just for example, we've got a fairly large client that is providing a variety of financial instruments, so insurance products and things like that, both to B2B audiences and to B2C audience. And so just take one of their insurance products, for example, and that insurance product might be available in a certain number of states in the United States. So it's pretty much the same product everywhere you go, but in each state, you have to talk about it a little bit differently. It's going to have different disclosures in Michigan versus New York, for example. And those disclosures would be one example of a zillion different variables that all might need to show up in all of the documentation for that one single product, just based on where the end user is consuming information about that product. So then you take that and you multiply it by all the products they offer, and then you multiply that by all the different types of documentation about that product. So maybe there's a web page, a marketing page about that product. There might be a print piece about that product that a broker uses to share information about the product with a prospective customer. There's all of the B2B facing documentation that the company shares with its brokers to help them understand what the product is, how to sell it. There's regulatory information about the product and so on and so on and so on. So we're talking about this massive avalanche of documentation around a single financial instrument. Now, let's take that a step further and say that the company wants to make a change to the product itself. Let's say the product has a rate in it, like 5%, and that the company wants to change it to 6% because they see an opportunity in the market to gain some sort of competitive advantage. So today, there's literally hundreds of steps and hundreds of people involved in making and reviewing and approving that change across many, many different types of marketing and product-related documentation, internal-facing, external-facing, regulator-facing, and so on. And it gets to the point where this process of managing and tracking these kinds of changes creating a major competitive disadvantage for the company. Because if they wanted to make something like a rate change, they're typically doing that in response to some sort of a market condition. Hey, if we can drop this rate by 1% in keeping with where the market is going, we can, you know, get a leg up on our competitor. Well, by the time they go through that process to make all of those changes, the market conditions have changed again, and they've lost that competitive opportunity, whatever it was that they were seeking. And so when you take all of that, and this is, I would say, not an uncommon situation for larger organizations, particularly those that are dealing with financial instruments. And so when you try to address all that, what we're seeing Sitecore do is take forward something like a Content Hub product, which can really drastically reduce and eliminate that process while shoring up the reliability of the regulatory compliance. So you change that 5% to 6% in one spot in a solution like Content Hub, and you can have that change automatically cascade to all of the hundreds of places where that rate needs to show up, whether it's a web page or an email or a piece of print documentation or you name it. And then you also have all the on-demand versioning and reporting that are going to validate the change so that it's been properly made everywhere, and you can track it, you can report on it, and so on. And that kind of streamlining of content governance can really actually create that competitive advantage that was missing before. It's making the company much more nimble in terms of how it's able to bring new products to market, to manage existing products, and then to adapt the products to market conditions at any given moment. So using an enterprise tool like Content Hub really seems to be sort of the next phase in maturation for that, all of that backstage work that needs to happen to make that onstage product experience come to life.
Excellent. Thanks, Dave. Scott, that Perficient, anything to add to that one?
Well, I think Dave summed it up very nicely. I mean, the folks that we speak with, in reality, they have a pretty good handle on it, right? But they're doing it the old-fashioned way, and it does take a long time, and it can be extremely complex. You know, they've kind of centralized the function. There's a lot of interest now in distributing the function so that organizations can be more nimble and allow people out in the field to actually use that content in ways that they deem appropriate, as opposed to just centralized marketing campaigns. So that increases the complexity of what Dave just mentioned, because now you have that decision-making or that governance needing to be expanded out into the field. I think it's fair to say that a lot of technology exists, like Dave mentioned, in order to streamline this process. I think it's fair to say a lot of marketing departments don't make proper use of it. So it's almost an organizational change management issue or an educational issue in terms of making sure that everyone who has invested in these technologies is using them to their optimal use. And we also see a lot of interest now in what I would call digital governance in terms of kind of relooking at how they govern this whole process and making sure that they're including all the right folks that need to be involved and kind of streamlining it where appropriate. So again, it can be a complex task, but there are folks out there thinking about how to solve it from an FSI perspective.
Great, Scott. Thanks so much. And thanks, Dave, for those insights there. Really appreciate that. So generating deep customer insights typically involves leveraging AI capabilities across the bank. And what are the challenges in implementing this successfully? And we'll go with Peter at Avanade on this one.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. The one thing about AI that strikes me is you need good data management for it to work. So rather than repeat all the comments I made earlier, I'll just say reference the previous answer, because you need to get the data right. And when it's all over the business and structured and unstructured formats in aging systems, that's not insignificant. One other thing that strikes me, though, is that getting talent is hard. Acquiring and retaining AI people, you know, such as data scientists, is becoming very difficult due to their scarcity. And in fact, banks tend to keep AI projects in-house in order to simply retain their AI teams with challenging and stimulating assignments. But it's interesting, overall, banks aren't really investing in AI or analytics in terms of their people. I came across a survey from Accenture, which said that something like 3% of bank boards plan to significantly increase their investment in reskilling programs in the next 3 years. And for insurers, it was 4%. So the numbers are pretty low. So investment is key if banks really want to accelerate the process. And the other danger is that sometimes they focus on pilots. So they look at areas like RPA, robotic process automation, or chatbots, virtual agents, or maybe automating a regulatory process like KYC or anti-money laundering. But the difficult thing is then to say, how do we push this across the bank? How do we get bank-wide AI? And that's challenging. So it's the move from pilot to enterprise-wide, if you like. That's a bit of an issue. And I guess there's a couple of smaller points too. I mean, AI is black box, isn't it? So, you know, you get answers, but you don't necessarily get an audit trail to demonstrate transparency. I don't know if you remember the Apple Pay sort of scenario where they offer different credit limits to husbands and wives from the same household based on similar algorithms. So there's a whole field of digital ethics which looks at this. And I think that's something that's evolving, emergent, but it's a good place to focus. And the other thing is just getting conversational AI right is really difficult. I mean, chatbots don't really understand things like empathy or sarcasm or humor. I mean, it's one thing to give advice on an optimal stock portfolio, but it's another thing to ask about, I don't know, the recent graduation of your client's daughter. So there are a lot of things that are emerging, and banks are certainly getting involved and looking at the issues around AI, and some are more successful as you'd expect. I mean, one of the things we've found is if you get the analytics correct, it can be really significant. We did some work with a global insurer, and their issue was a simple one, which is very common to lots of FSI clients. They had lots of high-value customers who were moving to competitors, and they didn't understand why, and they put a lot of people behind it, and they still couldn't crack it. So we set up an advanced analytics platform that actually drove down into the data to give them some insight. And the platform focused on things like customer acquisition, retention, and just general customer service and management. And what we found, I won't go into detail, but what we found was we were able to reduce the churn by about 60-65% of high-value customers of the competition. We also reduced their campaign costs by about a third. and we increased their upsell rate by about 80% on cross-product promotion. And that's just by getting analytics and AI to work together in harmony. So the potential is great. But as I say, a couple of challenges to get around before you hit it.
Great. Thanks, Peter. Appreciate that. And my next question is, how can teams leverage AI to accelerate the path to personalization and really deliver the one-to-one personalized experience? And we'll go with Nancy at Sitecore on this one.
Yeah, Matt, I think FSI will need to start form and drive their personalization strategy if they're not actually doing that right now, and really look at AI to help that. So 78% of FSI that we survey are seeing their customers increase in self-service and mobile usage. So strengthen their digital interactions with their customers, especially providing personalized experiences, is mission critical right now. So no doubt personalization could be challenging for FSI to get started, as so many people on this call mentioned, but it doesn't have to. AI is the tool to accelerate that path by lowering the time effort of implementation, serving the best content to the customer without guesswork, and gain valuable insights on customer behavior. So I want to mention some examples of how AI can help FSI get to personalization fast. So number one, FSI can use AI to do auto segmentation of user clusters from tracked user data and behavior data, so they don't need to spend hours in data analysis to manually create user segments. This removes the guesswork and avoid missing user segments that marketers were not aware of before. And again, with tracked data and behavior data, AI can predict which content is the best for new visitors and return customers, and provide that one-on-one personalization in real time, so marketers don't need to spend time and effort to create complex business rules to offer the best experience. And the good news is that the above points and more is what Sitecore AI Auto Personalization, a turnkey solution on Sitecore Expanse platform, can help FSI accelerate personalization by enabling the marketers to push a few buttons with existing content to launch that one-on-one personalization on their site. So I think FSI should start thinking about leveraging this sophisticated AI solution that's making it easy to kick off personalization.
Great. Thanks, Nancy. Appreciate those insights. And for our last question of the day, we're going to stick with Nancy. So Nancy, what are the benefits for marketers when they adopt and use AI?
Yeah, absolutely. So besides the points that I mentioned in the previous question, so when marketers start using AI to push forward digital transformation, they tend to overlook other major benefits of adopting AI, such as easy maintenance and ease of scalability. They can dial up and dial down the amount of personalization easily by using Sitecore AI to fit their current and future campaign strategy. So AI can automate the most tedious operational tasks, really shorten the time to campaign launch significantly, and let marketers adjust fast to campaign changes, because there's always changes in the middle of the campaign no matter what. So the ease of maintenance and operational efficiency is often not highlighted enough. So I want to emphasize that once marketers get personalization started, AI is a great tool for removing that maintenance bottleneck and increasing their productivity.
This concludes the Digital Content, the Missing Link in Your Portfolio, two-part podcast series hosted on FinTech Today, where we did a deep dive discussion on digital transformation and the CX shift happening within the FSI vertical. And once again, our panelists included Jonathan Price, Sitecore Practice Director and Sitecore MVP at AmericanEagle.com, Peter Barrett, Global Marketing Lead for Financial Services at Avanade, Dave McKella, Vice President of Digital Solutions at Horizontal Digital and Sitecore MVP, and Scott Albaheri, Chief Strategist for Financial Services at Proficient, and Nancy Lee, Principal Product Manager at Sitecore. And thank you, everybody, for taking the time to do this podcast series with us.
Thank you, Matt.
Thanks for having us.
So happy to be here.
Thank you. Thanks, Matt. It's been a pleasure.